Good morning, everybody. I'd like to call this meeting of the Transportation Finance and Policy Committee to order. We have a quorum present, and today is Tuesday, March 5th. Just a reminder that all our hearings are recorded and live streamed by House Public Information. First item of business are minutes from February 29th. Representative Petersburg, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I would certainly approve those minutes as presented.
Okay, the motion is to approve the minutes. Is there discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. So we have three bills on the agenda today, members, and we don't have the usual time constraints for today, so I'm not going to cut anyone off, so folks should feel free to testify as they wish, although within reason. Our first bill is House File 4237 from Representative Listigard. I move that House File 4237 be referred to Ways and Means. Welcome to the committee, Representative Listigard, and to your bill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members of the House Transportation and Finance and Policy Committee. I'm here today to present House File 4237, naming a portion of U.S. Highway 169 on the Iron Range after late Senator David Tomasoni. My friend Senator David Tomasoni was a proud Iron Ranger, having been raised in the city of Chisholm, which he called the center of the universe. In his youth, David played hockey. Not only played it, but he loved it. He played for Italy at the 1984 Winter Olympics. He played college Division I at the University of Denver, but then had a long professional career in Italy from 1975 to 1991, serving on many different clubs. He also played for Italy in the World Championships in 1977, 81, 82, and 1983. David returned to the United States and went into politics, which we are fortunate for, serving his first in the Minnesota House beginning in 1993 and the Minnesota Senate beginning in 2000. And I can just say, as everybody in the House, he was House trained. I know that you'd appreciate that, sir. He served as the president of the Minnesota Senate in 2020 with bipartisan support. He also served as Senate Majority Whip from 2001 to 2007. During his time in the legislature, Senator Tomasoni chaired the Economic Development Committee. He chaired the Environment. He chaired the Economic Development, Agriculture, Finance Division. He co-chaired the Legislative Citizens Commission on the Minnesota Resources and chaired the Iron Range Resource Rehabilitation Board four different times. He also was vice chair of the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission. But sadly, as we all know, Senator David Tomasoni was diagnosed in the mid-2021, and I remember that day vividly. He died from this incurable disease just over a year later. After his death, one of his Senate colleagues noted that heaven just got a little more fun. But before he died, this is the incredible man that he is, before he died, in March of 2020, Senator Tomasoni helped spearhead a bill that allocated $20 million towards ALS research and another $5 million for ALS caregiving, all knowing that it would not benefit him before he died. David was a defender of the Iron Range and of our major industries of mining, logging, and tourism. He left behind an enormous legacy on the Iron Range with public service that he helped so many people. And in this political, volatile, polarized world, anybody that knew David knew that he didn't rule with an iron fist. He ruled with finesse, and he was loved by both sides of the aisle because of the man. It wasn't the what with David, it was the how he conducted himself, how he treated people, and how he worked through this legislative process. And he is obviously a dear friend of mine, a mentor, and he taught me so much about what it is to serve people. And so I'm honored to be here today, and with me I have his son Dante Tomasoni, and his other son Danny is watching today. Hi, Danny. And I wish and I hope that you guys will consider this bill moving forward.
Thank you, and welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein, members of the committee. My name is Dante Tomasoni. I am the son of David Tomasoni. First and foremost, on behalf of my father and our family, I want to thank you and express what a huge honor and the gratitude we have for this bill. We also want to thank this committee and the bill's authors. Representative Lizegard, thank you very much for the kind words just now. Speaker Hortman, Representative Scraba, Representative Davis, and Representative Igo for sponsoring the bill. My father, who as a member of this House for 8 years, had a passion for his district and the economic vitality of his district. He knew that supporting economic activity was vital to his constituents. Transportation, this highway, was an essential component of commerce, safety, and a quality of life on the Iron Range. It transported goods, critical minerals, infrastructure, and most importantly, families. As a father of small kids, my newest being 4 weeks old now, I hear the not so subtle gasp of my wife every time I pass a car on a two-lane highway. And it reminds me how important expansion to a four-lane in this district is for safety, for families, for quality of life, and efficient transportation of commerce. Keep people working, keep them safe, care about families and others were my father's strongest values. This highway was a really important part of his career. So again, thank you, members and authors. We're honored and grateful for considering this bill.
Thank you so much, both of you, for those really moving testimonials and remembrances. I wanted to, before we get to member questions, I know there was a little conversation on the floor yesterday about the nature of these types of memorial highways, and I wanted to just check with our nonpartisan staff about this particular bill and how it differs from the bill that we heard yesterday.
Mr. Chair and members, this bill includes a reference to current law, which is Section 161.139, which sets requirements on memorial highway signage coming from non-state sources to cover the costs. And, you know, that is sort of reinforced as a tradition in each memorial signage legislation to include that reference. That's included in House File 4237. You'll see in the fiscal note that there is a net zero for cost. That includes both revenue coming in that would go to a revolving sign account in the Trunk Highway Fund from non-state sources, and then expenditures equaling that for the costs of the signs.
Okay, so different situation than we had before. Are there questions or comments from the committee? Or any remembrances that anyone wants to share? Lee Petersburg.
Thank you. I would just say I wasn't in the House when he was here, but I had some bills that went in front of him in the Senate as well. And I did want to just thank you on behalf of us for the service of your dad and also sympathies for his loss. But he kind of exemplified the will to fight and to continue moving to the very end, which is something that is tough to do at times. So, again, thank you for that.
Thank you, Lee Petersburg. Is there anyone from the audience that wishes to testify? Okay. Are there any closing comments that you'd like to make, Representative Lizegard?
Mr. Chair and members, just thank you so much for this opportunity.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for bringing this important bill and for the wonderful remembrances, and I'm sure we'll have more as this bill advances. So. And with that, I will renew the motion that House File 4237 be re-referred to the committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, the motion prevails. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Tomasoni and Representative Listlegard. Okay, next up we have House File 4368. Vice Chair Tabke.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. We have two files in front of us this morning that are agency technical and policy changes here. The first one is 4368 that has a variety of driver's license and driving privileges discussion and changes on here. And we have Director Zhang here from DVS to explain the specific provisions.
Okay. Would you like to do that first, or do you want to do the amendment? I understand you have an amendment.
4368 does not.
Oh, I'm sorry. You have an amendment. Okay.
For the next bill.
For the next one.
Ah, okay. Sorry about that.
I should probably move the bill.
Or do we do that? Let's move that.
So, we, Mr. Chair, move House File 4368 be considered for be laid over for future consideration.
Okay. Proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Pong Zhang, Director of the Driver and Vehicle Services Division. This bill contains several policy and technical changes related to the work of DVS. The first change is to use the term motorcycle rather than two-wheeled vehicle in statute. Motorcycle is a defined term that includes both two-wheeled and three-wheeled vehicles. Using this term in statute is a technical change that makes the references more accurate. The bill also eliminates requirement for law enforcement officers to physically clip the corner of a driver's license during certain DWI stops. Clipping the license is no longer necessary as the law enforcement officers invalidate the license in the database, which happens in real time and is accessible to all law enforcement officers. Also, eliminating the requirement to clip the license is consistent with FMCSA requirement to not clip the CDL. Finally, this bill seeks to make conforming changes in the limited license statute to require a one-year waiting period for all alcohol-related CVO or criminal vehicle operation violations, not only when there's a fatality. Several years ago, the legislature divided the CVO statutes into three sections, homicide, bodily harm, and unborn child. And when that change was made, not all of the sections were added back into the limited license statute due to the incomplete revised instruction. That is a summary of this policy bill, and I'll stand for questions. Thank you.
Questions for the testifier? No? Okay. Are there any other comments?
No, this is a pretty exciting bill, Mr. Chair. So
I'm kind of amazed. I'm kind of truly amazed. Okay. Well, with that, if seeing no further discussion, House File 4368 will be laid over for possible inclusion. Unless there is anyone from the audience. Okay. So much excitement. Okay, great. So we have one more bill. Vice Chair Tabke, you can stay seated there. And that's House File 4369. And we'll also lay this one over. This is one where you can explain the bill, and then Representative Petersburg has an amendment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So this is House File 4369. It also has a variety of changes from motor vehicle and driver licensing. Here, this is equally as exciting as the last one was, except for this one includes teardrop campers in the bill so as well. So, Mr. Chair, if we would do Lead Petersburg's amendment, and then we can go through the bill.
Okay. Lee Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would like to offer the A1 amendment to this bill, and it deals with deputy registrar clarifications and some protections, which I think are important. There are kind of four basic areas to this particular amendment. A couple of them are fairly straightforward. That includes things like if a vendor of a kiosk, because we provided opportunities for kiosks to be placed for renewal of licenses, it's just that a vendor of a kiosk can't become a deputy registrar. That would be kind of a conflict and so forth. So that's one of the protections. The other one is a foreign passport that is current can be used as a form of identification for titling and so forth. For some reason, that was left out as well. Electronic transmissions talks a little bit about the fees and where that goes. And then the one that has probably the meatier section of it revolves around kind of implementation of the Rick King report from a few years ago, in which it suggested that most deputy registrars should be full serviced. Well, there are some limited service agencies out there that would like to become full service, but because of current law and procedure, they may be too close or whatever and have been denied that. This just specifically says for those ones that choose to, you've got a year to apply, and that the department has to give an application and make the determination on the application. And basically that's the amendment, and as far as I know from everybody that I've heard, it's the department's good with it, and the Senate and everybody else is good with it as well. That's the amendment.
Okay. Does anyone want to testify for or against this amendment? Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'm
comment from the author.
I'm comfortable with this being added, and thank you, Lee Petersburg, for your work on this.
Okay, great. Anything else that you would like to go through here on the bill?
Mr. Chair, if we do the amendment, and then Director Zhang needs to walk through the bill for everybody so we know exactly what's in it.
All right, let's do that first then. All those in favor of the A1 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the motion prevails. Now we have the bill as amended before us.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Again, Pong Zhang, Director of the Drive and Vehicle Services Division. And this bill makes several technical and policy changes and moves the requirements for proof of identity documents from rule to statute. There are a few technical changes to ensure that 10,000-pound trucks are included in definition of pickup trucks, and also to ensure that teardrop trailers are registered as recreational vehicles. Next, there's a clarification to the veteran special plates for the congressionally chartered veteran services organizations, VFW, DAV, and the American Legion, to ensure that vehicles titled in the name of the organization themselves also qualify for the special plate. This bill also eliminates some limitation for these veteran special plates to be to two sets to be consistent with other types of veteran special plates, which have no such limits. The bill adds the definition of state to include U.S. military bases on foreign soil. By including this definition, DVS will ensure that individuals with Minnesota licenses who get DWIs on a military base on foreign soil will have that conviction counted as their record on their driving record in Minnesota. A large portion of this bill moves proof of identity documents from rule into statute and creates a separate section for each of the three credential types, noncompliant, real ID, and EDL. Moving these requirements from rule to statute and placing each credential in its own section will make the requirements easier for customers to understand and also simplify administration of these requirements. The bill also expands the acceptance of tribal identification documents to include not only those issued by Minnesota tribal governments, but also all federally recognized tribes. The bill also makes technical corrections to new teleconference and online driver's ed programs authorized last year. Finally, this bill eliminates the requirement to provide a document showing your Social Security number when applying for a real ID. This is consistent with federal guidance in this area. A Social Security number is still required, but it is electronically verified through this SSA online verification service, and making a physical document showing the number unnecessary. Thank you, and I'll stand for questions.
Okay. Are there questions? Representative Padilla.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one question. Do you know what the legal limit for DWI is in the military compared to Minnesota? That would be my only concern. I believe that legal limit for DWI in the military is different. So it creates this gap between what could potentially qualify as a DWI in Minnesota versus being on a military installation on foreign soil.
Mr. Chair, Representative Padilla, I will have to get back to you on that. I wasn't prepared to share that, but I certainly can get that information and share back with the committee.
Okay. Major.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my other question goes along with Representative Padilla's. Does the state of Minnesota have the authority to track this sort of stuff? Because an individual who is... I have a Minnesota driver's license. I also have a United States military driver's license. If I'm on a base on foreign soil, does the state of Minnesota have the authority to look on me what the military is already looking on me? And I actually quick Googled the legal driving limit, and it is actually different.
Mr. Chair, Representative, all DWI convictions from military bases are reported to Minnesota. It's reported to AMBA, and from AMBA reported to Minnesota. So we are able to track it, and certainly we'll follow back up on the DWI distinction between military bases and Minnesota.
Lead Petersburg.
Thank you. And so I think there's time because it's going to be held over. Yes. And so we can get some of that clarified by the time we get it taken care of. And I think those are important questions just to make sure that we have it right. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I agree. And I knew that we have a couple of vets on the committee, and I knew that you all would be interested in this. So any other questions? All right. Final comments, Vice Chair Tapke.
No, thank you very much, everyone, and we'll absolutely work on those things and continue to have conversations about that piece. And as it comes back, if there are any amendments or things that we need, we can absolutely do that. So with that, Mr. Chair, I recommend that House File 4369 be laid over for future consideration.
Okay. House File 4369 is laid over. Thank you, members. Okay, well, a little less discussion than I thought. Lead Petersburg.
Thank you, and I'm just inviting everybody to come for Thursday when we hear about the flying cars, and we just heard a little bit ago that motorcycles were expanded to three-wheel vehicles, which is basically what this is going to kind of be like. So it's kind of interesting to see what happens with that. So just giving a little bit of advanced commercial.
Okay, well, thank you. That's Lead Petersburg's bill, and... anyone else have any previews of coming attractions?
We didn't need to pay for Highway 65.
All right. Well, with that, we are adjourned until Thursday.